The Praying with the Eyes podcast starts now.
This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 10, Feeling Out of Place. In this episode, Rochelle Hecker and I discuss how we create and sustain relationships within our Christian communities.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your host today is Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thank you again for tuning in to today's podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Praying with the Eyes podcast. Good to have you with us. And for those of you who are new, it's good to have you join us. And I'm Doug Bronner, as you heard in the introduction, joined by Rochelle Hecker. And we're going to talk about this issue of Christian community today. But I'm glad to have Rochelle. Rochelle's going to be joining me for a few episodes, and I'm glad to have you with us, Rochelle.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I know you are. No, I'm glad to. You know, Rochelle and I, it's been fun because we've spent quite a bit of time prepping for this podcast, talking and discussing. And to be honest with you, we don't know exactly where we're going to go with all of it. We got an outline in front of us. We're prepared. But there's a lot of stuff we're going to wrestle with in this topic. So anyway, but before we get into that, Rochelle, recently we had the extreme blood moon. Did you get a chance to see it?
I did get a chance to see it. We didn't go out and watch the whole thing because it was a long...
I was surprised by that. I thought it was going to be, we watched it kind of, you know, the shadow of the earth take over the moon. I thought, okay, well, soon we're going to watch it go. And then he started thinking, well, you know, the earth is pretty good size. It's going to take a while for that shadow to pass through. Yeah, I had a good time with it. I had just delivered my grandkids back to the parents up in Denver, and I got a text from a friend of mine who shoots with me at times and takes pictures with me, and he said, "Do you want to go shoot the blood moon?" And I'm looking at my watch. I'm going, "Okay, we're at McDonald's here in the north end of Denver. I can make it." I broke a few speed laws.
Uh-oh, not okay.
You know, it's really hard to take pictures of the moon.
I don't know, because I'm not very good at taking pictures of things other than on my phone, and it's not working right now either for pictures. So there you are.
You don't have any camera you're taking pictures with?
No, we break cameras.
We. So I take it your children play a part of that too?
They do. We don't need to go into that. But yes, it's hard to keep a good camera around. And actually, if I had a good one, maybe that would keep better.
You know, I took my best camera out. I had a tripod. My lens is still, it's a long lens, meaning, you know, I can really zoom in on things. Supposedly, it 300 millimeters, and on a crop sensor camera, so I get to bore all of you with some geeky stuff here, that would be 450 millimeters on a full frame camera, which is pretty good zoom range. That moon's still small.
The moon still looks
and
small.
And so to focus on it at night, and you can't really rely on the autofocus of your camera, so I had to manual focus, and still, it's just tough. I think I got one picture that I really was content with, I posted out there. But
see, and I periodically went out, looked at it, said, "Oh, yep, that looks cool. That's a neat change," and then went back in, and then would go back outside and look at it again. So
it was kind of
interesting. I wish I had the patience to watch it. But
oh, I ran out of patience. Even in fact, as I was taking pictures, we were out at by a lake. We thought the moon might be a little lower in the horizon. We'd get some reflection off the lake, but that didn't happen. There were a number of lots of people. I mean, it was amazing to see the cars pulled over along the road just watching it. But we had I got so bored that Powers was on the was big boulevard here in Colorado Springs, almost a freeway, and the car lights were across the lake, and they were reflecting on the lake, and it was kind of cool. So I took a 37 second exposure of the car lights, headlights going this way, but there was reflection then on the lake, which was a lot. It was deeper, and not as bright as the headlights. And it just kind of created an interesting. And
did you not post that on the blog asking us what it was? I did recognize it was water and light.
I'm impressed.
Probably because I grew up on the water.
Yeah, you did, Moses Lake. Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And if you'd like to find out more about Holy Cross, you can go to our website at holycrosscs.org. If you have questions that Rochelle and me during this podcast today, please send them to us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And the website for Praying with the Eyes is rather simple to find. It's simply prayingwiththeeyes.com, and you'll find there blogs that are written by me, a daily devotion I write. And then also what's been fun is the different blogs being written by different people in this community and being inspired by what they write too. So would really encourage you to go there, especially to go to the show notes for this episode and make comments there. Leave comments for Rochelle and I and for others that we can read and keep the conversation going, especially as we deal with this issue of community, of Christian community today. I'm not a joiner. I mean, that seems kind of strange. What about you? Are you a joiner?
I used to be a joiner, but I don't have time to be a joiner now, to join different things. I'm more of a chauffeur. Driving my kids around from place to place.
Well, so, yeah, okay, you and I are at different stages in life. You have kids at home still. All my kids are gone. And yet I still find myself, I don't know, later in life I've just found myself becoming less and less of a joiner. You and I have talked about this before. I find myself becoming much more of an introvert the older I've become.
And do you feel like you've already established the relationships you need in your life and you're content with them so you don't feel the need to seek out more?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that I think we're going to get into this a bit as we continue on with this idea of Christian community, because as soon as you said that, I'm going, well, some of it's about time. I feel like my time has become much more precious, and in the sense of I need some regeneration time.
Right. You need to refill.
Yeah. And but yet at the same time, I do feel a need for developing some friendships. And maybe the issue of being a pastor, the struggle is my circle is pretty wide but pretty small, in the sense that I'm pretty consumed by what I do here.
Right, which is, yeah, a part of life. And I think that's actually, I'm not a pastor, but I'm consumed by what I'm doing with my children. You know, I have one person that I've been trying to meet with for coffee, a new friend, new relationship, and we just can't even make the time for that. And I'm at a level too where I don't care for trivial friendships. I don't want to just meet with people for fun. I want a deep relationship with someone. If I'm going to invest my time and energy in them, I want it to be a worthwhile relationship. And I think that's changed. From when I was younger, it used to be I just needed to get out of the house and meet people. I needed to get together with a group of women and do something together, and I don't need that as much as I used to.
When you said that, also, I was thinking in my own brain is, and maybe this is a guy thing, that I want to get out and do things with guys. We just had their men's retreat, and it was a lot of fun. I didn't do a lot of big group stuff. I couldn't. My back wouldn't allow me anyway. Seriously, I just couldn't do it. I would love to have done the archery tag, which sounds so strange. Just understand, we weren't shooting live. We were shooting live arrows at each other, but we weren't with metal tips on them. They were marshmallows, basically.
Okay.
On the end of them. And it looked like they were having a lot of fun. I got to take pictures of it while they're doing it, so I felt like I was contributing somewhere. But so I spent most of my time with my prayer partner, Dave, and his father-in-law fly fishing. One of the ponds. But I enjoyed that fellowship with each other, just doing stuff. But I find that I think that just doing something with somebody is kind of fun. But that's different than having a deeper fellowship relationship, a close
heart-to-heart friendship.
Yeah. I found over years I don't crave many of those. Fewer, but deeper.
Yeah, and I'm finding that more too. And I don't know if that's just because I have less time for the other or not. And my life's a little different in that I'm single, but I have children full time. So it's hard to do things with couples who have children or do things with singles who don't have children. I don't feel like I have a place right now. And I wonder how many other people kind of, I don't know if that's a true thing. That's a feeling, not necessarily a reality. And I wonder how many other people out there might connect with that. They just don't feel like they fit.
It may not be the same circumstances,
right,
but I do think there's a number of people that do feel that way. So let's talk about this issue, just community, for a second. Let's move on to, what's the difference between community outside the church and community inside the church?
You're going to make me just answer that.
Yeah, I got to ask the question first. Now, you could have asked it first. You know, I got to it first. So, you know, Rochelle, you're going to learn that over the next few weeks, that you got to jump in if you want don't want to answer the question.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'll remember this. So I'm going to start with, what is community outside the church, which is really all about you, about getting your needs met, doing things you enjoy, meeting people that do things you enjoy, just
so it's about affinity, about affinity groups. You know, I'll go to a Bronco game, not with a person who wants to go to an opera.
Right, right, because it's usually not very fun to do together.
not, it becomes, actually becomes rather miserable.
Or going to a Broncos game with a Seahawks fan, huh? Those poor Broncos.
I think that's fun.
I think it would be fun.
I've done it.
So, yeah, I think it is. It's about finding things that you have in common and doing things. Whereas inside the church, I believe it has more to do with building a community of people with differences and learning how to get along, how to create relationships with people you don't necessarily, wouldn't necessarily meet outside the church, wouldn't necessarily do things with.
I'm not you know, what's interesting is you said that too. I wonder how many of us have that idea, yet we bring in to the Christian community still the concept of what's outside, how we do community outside the church. The reason why I'm getting at that is for a long time in the church, in my ministry, that there was this thought that you get people together in affinity groups, which means you get them together in groups where they're similar, right?
Right, similar, right. Stuff. I think that's what we tend to do. That's how we establish programs.
So what I'm hearing you say,
activities,
though, is that runs contrary to what you see as community inside the church.
I do believe it runs contrary. I think it's a good idea. We had an idea of, we wanted to bring people together, so let's have this activity. But that's not necessarily what we are supposed to be doing as a church to build community. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that our focus might be off.
It seems to be the place that we maybe stop at. We get together in these affinity groups, and we don't go deeper than that. We don't seek out somebody who has a different cultural background than I have, a different perspective on things. Being a Republican, I don't seek out a Democrat. Or vice versa. You know, we like to be around people who think like we do.
That would think like we do, or that, yeah, think. I like to be around people that I enjoy interacting with.
I like to be around people who think, too.
Right. Well, and that's what I mean. I don't mind people that disagree with me. I enjoy good conversation.
See, I can't say that all the time. My dad was a guy, and I love my dad. You know, he's with Christ now. But I inherited something I did not appreciate, and that is, his opinion was the only opinion. Okay? So we all basically had the same idea, and we didn't know how to handle people with different opinions. We didn't relate to people with the different opinions. That's where I'm coming from. This is different. I can say, aspirationally, I would like to be that kind of person who seeks out this kind of community where I can get together with these people who don't think like me. But I end up trying to defend myself.
Awesome. Yeah. And I can see both sides of that, too. But that's the kind of people I like to be around, are the ones that I can have conversation where you don't feel defensive at the end. It's okay. Which is unlike, I mean, one of my children who said she just hates the phrase, let's agree to disagree, because she thinks that just doesn't solve anything. We need to wrestle to death until somebody wins. And I don't like that kind of conversation.
Okay. I think there's truth to what she's saying, though. From the standpoint, let's agree to disagree, can also be both extremes that I feel like were mentioned there are a way of resolving the conflict without really doing the dirty work. So I can, you and I get in a conversation, let's say about politics, and it goes 5 minutes, and we find that we disagree. We just stop and we'll agree to disagree. Well, we'd be better off to at least explore it further, but to go to the extreme of saying, until somebody wins, that's not healthy either.
Right. It's not even necessarily realistic. I mean, that's what caused a war or two out there.
Yeah, I'd say kind of more than one war.
So, yeah, but the realism is, yeah, I would love to wrestle with people over issues, but sometimes you know you're not going to come together at a final conclusion that's in agreement.
And that should be okay. I just find in myself that it's very hard to be okay with that. There's got to be a right and a wrong. Okay, so I'm like your...
It's black or white. It's right or wrong. Okay.
It's right or wrong. And my way's right.
I see. And does that make it difficult to build community around
yourself?
Well,
that's what we're going to talk about. So Rochelle and I, when we come back from this short break, we're going to ask the question, first of all, what is the purpose of Christian community? We'll be back in a moment.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at LifeTree Cafe. At LifeTree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about LifeTree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three LifeTree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. LifeTree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
If you have questions for Rochelle and I, we would love to have you email us questions at prayingwiththeeyes.com. And once again, I would also encourage you to go to the show notes for this episode, episode 10. And you'll find those show notes at prayingwiththeeyes.com. And please leave a comment at the very bottom. I know it seems kind of weird on that page, and I don't know why the comments, the template I use for the website, puts the comments so far down the page. But you got to scroll almost down to the bottom, and there's spots for comments. And if it doesn't show right away, it's because I need to moderate comments and when they're first made, and after that you'll be okay. So just be patient with that. But would really love to interact with the community, since we're talking about community, in what we're talking about. So Rochelle, let's take on the question: what is the purpose of the church? I think this is what we got to wrestle with first. It's really, we can talk about our Christian community. We purposely want to use that word community. When Rochelle and I were preparing for this, we often think of the church as being a building, and I told her that recently I've been trying to make this shift in my life, that when I talk about the church as a building, is to talk about it as a church building. And we had built a church building down in Peru, and I'm being really cautious when I talk to people. We didn't go down there to build a church. God builds the church. I don't. We were there to build a building for that community to worship in. But anyway, so back to that issue, Christian community. Thoughts?
Thoughts on the Christian community. Well, and really, what's the purpose of our Christian community, right?
Right.
And my first thought goes straight back to, we are the body of Christ. So we are different parts of the community, but we are one body. We're one thing that should not break apart.
No, and Paul talks about it in Corinthians, you know, the hand can't say, or whatever parts of the body he was saying, you know, the hand can't say the foot or whatever it was, so yeah, I don't need you.
Right, I'm more important than you.
Or putting that proverbial shoe on the other foot is, I can't say the body doesn't need me.
Right, we can't just, that proverbial foot can't walk off on its own.
Yeah, it can't. I think Paul, in reference to that, was trying to say, and I think this is what a lot of Christians wrestle with, is that I'm not worth anything in the Christian community. I'm not important in the Christian community, which kind of is almost a self-aggrandizing thought anyway. It's kind of weird, but anyway.
It's interesting because as I've talked to people about what they want in their church community, their Christian community, is they want to be noticed and want to be needed. And at the same time, we feel like we are separated from it sometimes, and that if we walked away, nobody would even notice. Or it's the fear that if we walked away, no one would notice. So that sort of ties in with what you just said. And we are important, and we need to recognize God called us here for a purpose, and it's important. And one person missing out of that community matters.
And yet, someone would say, well, there's all these people, we'll speak of a local Christian community, Holy Cross, for example. We worship about 630 people. That's a lot of people. And so I can see where somebody would say that, because there will be somebody to take my place. They won't miss me. I mean, all those things. And yet, even in our physical bodies, when there's something missing from it, we notice it.
We definitely notice it. Or it causes us pain to have it missing.
Oh, and those, okay, or to be honest, to say we may know something's wrong, but not know exactly what it is. You know, but then, and I maybe, what I'm getting at there is somebody leaves a Christian community. People in the community may know that there may know or not know that there's something wrong with that body, but they can't pinpoint what it is. So it's important. So yeah, as I think about this and what is the Christian community, it fits along with what we have here at Holy Cross as our part of our ministry. We talk about worship, growing, and serving. It seems to me that first of all, that we exist in community to worship God. And here's caution from me on this, and it sounds like, I bet a number of people who are listening to this, Michelle, were thinking it's what I do in worship.
Right, right. Absolutely. Because we tend to focus on ourselves. So what can I give? What do I contribute? And then we're also looking at what am I getting out of this? So I think the focus tends to be very much on self, and it's hard to not focus on self, because if I want to serve God, I need to know what he wants me to do, and I need to focus on what I'm good at so I know what to do. And there's so many eyes and all those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting to me too is because in worship, it's God chooses to meet us in worship and to nourish us in worship in the context of community. And for us in our Christian tradition of being, our background being Lutheran, we believe that God comes to us in his word and nourishes us there, that he comes to us in the meal and he nourishes us there. And then we would say that, yeah, part of that worship is how I respond to God with my praise, but that's not the primary focus of worship. God is always the primary focus of worship, not me. But how do we, you know, I can say that so theologically appropriate, and yet I'm one who's sitting there saying I'm not being fed, and I'm a pastor.
I'm being distracted by the music.
Or the child sitting next to me.
How do we keep God the central focus of everything?
Right.
When we live in ourselves.
Well, that's what we're getting at. So we're still bringing that idea, I think anyway, that we take that idea of what community is outside of the church, and we bring that very much into our fellowship within the church, and specifically here in the context of worship, that we make worship, what is worship doing for me? And in one sense, it's okay, because God does something for me. But I think we're taking in terms of, well, the pastor really had a crappy sermon. Most of the time, that for me, yeah, whatever. Anyway, we come expecting sometimes to be entertained.
Right. It's really, we come expecting, and really you should come in not knowing what to expect. With that expectation of God's going to do something here.
Yeah, that God. I think there's an expectation, right? The expectation is, I know God's going to be here.
Yes.
But then the openness of saying, okay, God, what are you going to do in this context, within this community? And I want to keep getting back to that, because in our culture, Western culture specifically, we're so individualistic. And the way our churches are set up are that way, to make it that's structured, that it's me and the pastor. You know, the pastor's in front of me, I'm here, and the people are always off to the side of me. And yet, it's a communal event. It's a communal event.
You almost think that we should be in a big circle so that we are more aware of the entire community. But and just as an extension of what you're saying, I've talked to so many people that think worship is, I'm not saying it's not okay to worship God because outside of church, because we should be worshiping him with our entire lives, but feeling that they don't need to be a part of the community because they have a relationship with Christ, and that's enough. And I don't believe that's what God has called us to either. He has called us to this community to be a part of
there's
more.
No question. No question.
And I guess that's, again, another version of the foot walking off by itself. So why are we called together to sit, to be in a community, to worship in a community, to focus on Him as one? What's the purpose of that?
Go further with that.
Oh, see, that's cheating.
I'll answer your question. I'm not trying to push it back on you. I know I asked the question. I just need a little bit of clarity.
I just occurred to me, if we are all coming, why is God calling us to come together in community? What's the purpose? Why can't we just have individual relationships with Him and that be enough? Why are we called to come together in worship and to fellowship together and to be in a community?
Well, immediately what comes to my mind is that God is community, exists in community. And within our understanding of the scriptures, that God is three in one. And there's no greater community than God in Himself, though the three persons yet one God, and that we can't even fathom that mystery. So community is in the heart of God. And I go back to creation and God, in chapter one of Genesis, it's He creates a male and female, and then there's a global community that the man and the woman are God's representatives to the rest of creation. Genesis 2, it's much more of an intimate that man is incomplete until Ish, the Hebrew word for man, until Isha is pulled out of him, and now. He goes, wow, this is, he understands more than just the beauty of this woman in front of him, but the depth of community. And so that, for me, I know it's a long answer to the question. It's because the way God created us. That's why it's not.
I think He didn't create us separately as individuals, and I hope that's going to be understood. He created us as a community. To be whole would be to all of us, unbelievers and become believers. That's His desire, right? That we would be one.
So let's talk about what are some of the greatest challenges to Christian community?
Well, we started with the first one, which is it's hard to get outside of selfishness.
To me, that's the number one thing here. We've been talking a lot about I. It's not about me.
It's not about me, but it's about me because I'm the one dealing with it.
Well, you know how I say the way I state that is this. And I think there's a subtle difference in your prepositions when we talk this way. It's not about me; it's for me.
And through me,
but about me says, I'm the prince. I'm the princess. And we all know families where a child is treated in that way, and they actually rule the family because it's about the child. It's for me as God's child. It's through me as God's child. I think those are better prepositions. I think maybe I'm making too subtle of a distinction.
I don't think you are. Basically, the point is we're not at the center. We are part of the entire picture, but we're not the center. He's the center. And every time we try to put ourselves at the center of what's going on, we're off kilter. We're not in the right place.
And the reality is we're going to wrestle with this all our life. You know, I can sit there and talk about a selflessness and focusing on God and all this other stuff. And reality is when I go to bed at night, there's going to be a lot of stuff I need to confess before God that I was pretty much putting myself at the center.
I have no words because it's
all I'm
it's
trying
truth.
To say is I don't want us to be giving the idea to our listeners that somehow you can achieve this level. I mean, there's a lot of religions that will put it out there, say karma, right?
That's
you can,
true.
You can achieve this. I'm saying no. We'll wrestle with it. That's what we need to do is wrestle with it.
I'm trying to find the right words for it's the number one sin. It is the basis of our sin is that we are selfish.
It is.
That is where sin comes from. So to try to not be selfish would be to not be human. It will come after.
Reflected in Adam and Eve when they sin, the first thing that the Bible says about them is that their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked. The first time they're looking at themselves.
Right. The focus changed from God to themselves.
And that was what Satan the serpent guaranteed them would happen. They just didn't understand it. That you will know good and evil, and the serpent didn't finish that and say, you just won't have the ability to always choose that which is good. You're going to be wrestling now with this thing called self all the time. Yeah.
I think that pretty much sums it up. So we become selfish with everything.
Time, talents. Let's talk for a second, just a couple of seconds here before we take a break, on what this means with the inner self. The selfishness with a, you and I were preparing for this. We talked about that it's all, we see the Christian community is all about me, but we even become selfish with our inner self.
And to, for me, that means that I am selfish with, I'm self-protective, partly, and that all my thoughts and needs, the culmination of who I am, I don't want everybody to know. That's where I'm coming from. Selfish with my inner self, it means I don't want to make deep connections with just anyone because I want to protect that inner self. And maybe there's some, maybe some of that's okay because we need boundaries. We need to set boundaries. Not everybody should know everything about everyone else. But it does also make me closed off to making new relationships with people that make me uncomfortable.
And I agree with you. I think that we do have to be careful about it. We can't just, I don't see anywhere in Scripture it says just bleed before everybody. And let, it doesn't matter who they are, just tell them your worst sin, your biggest struggles. Now, there are people that we need to. The Bible does say, confess your sins to one another, you know. And, but who's that person?
Right. I was going to say, Jesus didn't denounce everybody's sins to everyone. He pulled people aside.
Yeah.
Sometimes he did, to the
community.
Sometimes
it was public, because my gut was saying, and just off the top, is that it was because the sin itself was public.
Yes. So there's different circumstances for different things. So I don't think we're talking about necessarily sharing all the ugly with everyone, but being willing to open up more than we tend to others is important.
There's a lot more that Rochelle and I could have gotten into, and one of the things that always happens with these podcasts is time gets away from us, because when we talk about what is the purpose of Christian community, we talk about worshiping God. Really, there are two other aspects we didn't have time to get into, but I'm going to mention them just so that you understand there's a bigger picture here, and that it also, the purpose of Christian community is that you know, we exist to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and we exist to serve God through serving others. Now, some of this is going to come up in our next segment. So we're going to take a break again, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some ways this works out in our lives, maybe some personal application of this idea of Christian community. We'll be back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
Thank you for staying with Michelle and I as we continue on this journey of discussing Christian community. And we talked about in the last segment about the purpose of Christian community. And what we want to do now is talk about really where we talk about practical application. I don't know if that's the right word for it. We're both wrestling with how do we say this. What does it mean? What does this mean? What are some practical things for this kind of idea that community exists not about us, but about God, to worship and to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, to serve God by serving others. So what does that mean for us? It's which for Lutherans, those of you Lutheran background understand, what does this mean? We can't, it's ingrained in us to ask that question. So once again, this is a Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And if you want to find out more about us, please go to our website at Holy Cross CS, as in Colorado Springs, holycrosscs.org. So where do we begin, Rochelle?
Well, I wanted to kind of start with the part that you usually do, actually talking about people commenting. I think that this segment is the one I would be most interested in hearing other people's thoughts about, because I think you and I wrestled the most with how to make practical application or practical outpourings of what God is doing for us here for one another without it becoming about us. That okay. whole wrestling idea.
So yeah, please leave comments at our website and the show notes there, and keep this conversation going for us. One of the things that we sit in this room, we're recording at Holy Cross, and it kind of like a vacuum, and we don't have the interaction that we really desire to have.
No, well, because we're all a part of the community. But one thing you and I had talked about what we were going to talk about in this segment, we already started the wrestling with, because I said that I think part of the response to what or to how we do this is to change our thinking altogether, that we need to understand our true purpose in community. And by understanding and changing our thinking, that will change what we do and how we respond. And
What's important? Okay, finish.
No, sorry. And you turned that around. You liked it the other direction. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, when you're talking, one of the things that's interesting, you talk about changing the way we think. It seems to me that we got to be critical. And I think this is a problem with a lot of Christians. We don't think critically about our faith and about our journey in life. And that's really, for me, that's the concept behind repentance. Repentance is just, we have a very childish view of repentance. I did something bad, I confess it, and then I'm supposed to live differently. I think in that process of repentance is a deep soul searching, trying to ask the question, why did I do that? Or so in this case, we're talking about, why do I think that way? Why do I bring this concept of community that the world operates by, and I bring that same concept into my understanding of how Christians fellowship with each other?
I like that question, because that's exactly what we do, and I think that's why we're wrestling. We take what we have learned in the non-Christian community, in the worldly community,
where we spend most of our time.
Where we spend most of our time, and we aren't realizing that God does things differently. He does everything differently. And as a response, not just within our Christian community, we should be different and reflecting that outside. It should be going the other direction. We should be showing the world what Christian community, what's different about it from what they're experiencing, and wanting them making them want what God has for all of us.
Which goes back to a comment you and I'm sure have heard, if not directly, indirectly, statement made that Christians are just like everybody else.
Because they are.
They and are, then, true.
And they're not. But oftentimes...
I like how you said that. You're right.
We are like everybody else, but we shouldn't always be. And I do think that we are... I hate to do blanket statements like that. We are staying childlike in our faith, but so many Christians are living more worldly than how God intends us to live.
And so you and I, when you say that, right away I'm going, that is my battle. Because I still do it too. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to share on here, but I can tell you where is in my life right away I go to. And I go, well, yeah, that's just kind of like the way we respond in the world to things.
And the awareness of that is good. I mean, if you have that awareness, that means God's still working and convicting you of that.
Right. And, so. And then it's also the idea going back to this idea of changing our thinking, it begins to start that process of changing the way we think.
It is. It's about...
There's got to be self-realization.
There definitely does. Yes, we need to think deeply about what's going on and not just go through the motions of things. And we need to question why we do what we do. And we always need to bring it right back to God. We need to spend time in prayer and asking Him to change us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is doing the work to change us. So once we've discovered what the problem is, it still doesn't mean we can fix it.
So what are we supposed to change the way we think? Because you've stated already, but let's state it again, because I think it's easy to get lost in this conversation.
It
and
is.
Not stay focused on what the change needs to be.
All right, so I think our change needs to be knowing our true purpose is we are here, we live and exist to worship and serve our God, to love Him, to glorify Him. It is all about Him. And when we have him as our focal point, our view of everything else changes. We look at, you say it, looking and meeting people and things through Christ. I almost want to word it as seeing things through God's eyes, seeing situations and relationships the way he sees them.
The way, going back to something that Stacy Tassler and I talked about when we dealt with Bonhoeffer's book on Life Together, because this is a continuing conversation about community, and we're not going to be done with it, Rochelle and I, or whoever else down the road, because Christian community is critical to life. But what the one point that Bonhoeffer talked about that just it's impacted me this summer is in Christian community is to relate to each other through Christ. And he goes so far as to say, and I dare not relate to you in the body of Christ, go to you in the body of Christ, except to go to you through Christ. And as soon as we remove Christ out of it, now we're just like the world. Now we are going to relate to each other. But if Christ stands central in bringing this community together, the community is going to be different.
It's going to be unified, and we're going to be moving towards the same purpose, which was the other piece of what we were wanting to talk about. When you're changing your thinking, you're trying to also discover what your purpose is. And if all of us, are, as a Christian community, are focused on Christ and his purpose, then we will be in unity as to what our entire purpose is.
Yeah, and unlike what you said there, because there's that squirrel moment on it, is the... What's the Jeremiah passage? I know the plans I have for you.
Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper
you. Yeah, I'm going to look it up here in a second, because I believe that we often see that in terms of individualistic. I know the plans I have for you, meaning you singular.
And do you know scripturally whether that's a singular?
Yeah,
I'm going to find out here.
I'm going to find out here. I'm pulling up my cheap Bible, my Bible that helps me with my Greek and Hebrew, because it explains everything for me. I've been enjoying this class on Exodus that I'm teaching right now on Wednesday nights, because I'm getting back into Hebrew again. I have not done that. So Jeremiah 29:11. Okay, let me look that up real quick.
All right, while you're looking that up, I'll talk about that. So when we change our thinking and we look at things, it changes how we respond to others. It's definitely a different type of relationship you form. When it's not all about me, then it really doesn't matter whether you and I have a common interest in photography or golfing, or we have the same age children. The relationship changes, and the purpose of the relationship changes.
Yes, it is plural, by the way. It is you plural. And so, Jeremiah, which makes sense.
It makes more sense.
The prophets always spoke to the community. I know the plans I have for you, all y'all, since you spent time in Texas. And we get lost in this so individualistic idea of everything. I know the plans I have for you all here at Holy Cross. Well, let's go further. The remnant of God's people scattered across the world. I know the plans I have for all of you.
Just hearing that version, because honestly, I hear that verse all the time, and you're right. I've always heard it as an individual. It's to me personally, to each one of us individually, personally, and to look at that as a global, he knows the plans he has for all of us.
And so I've lost, I'm losing the sense of community. Not in the sense that it's not true. I do believe that there is that idea of God.
He cares about us.
As individuals, knows our hairs on their head, but I think we get so wrapped around the axle of having to know the plan for my individual life, when we lose sight of, you fit into a bigger picture, Doug, and that picture is this whole global community of my people that I have a plan for. You're important in that, but it's a community. So let's move from changing the way we're thinking now to that changing the thinking about the purpose of Christian community. That's what we're talking about. Now that turns into changing what we do.
Right, and how we respond to what God is doing.
Right.
And this is the one I wrestled with the most, because I have practical ideas, but I feel like everything needs to come from what God wants you to do. So each of these might not be
specific. So there's one thing you and I have been avoiding. We talked about it the other segments and breaks. male, female. Let's talk about differences. Some of this is a little broader than just how to apply, but there's a little difference here. We're going to talk about how men and women look at community theory.
How men and women look at community. Yeah, and how they look at relationship in general.
And you and I being kind of oddballs in a sense, well, that's obvious, but being oddballs in the sense that I am much more in touch with my feminine side than a lot of men, and you're much more in tune with your masculine side than many women.
Or at least that's what I've been told, and I think you hear that so often,
I hear it
too.
I hear it very often.
Yeah, and I even have friends that will call me and ask me how to handle their husbands simply because I'm more like their husbands than like them.
I fortunately have not had that
situation. So, yeah, so it is kind of interesting to try to talk about how women relate when I don't relate as much like the stereotypical woman would. But I still think I'm very female in the way I relate to people. And that's that I want deep heart-to-heart relationships. It's a lot about intimacy and discussing the deep things in life as opposed to just doing things together.
You see, that's where you and I talked before about this. And again, maybe it's overgeneralization of stuff, but it seems like for me that men want to have that relate around something to be conquered. Okay, so we're going to go out and conquer some. We're going to go hunt. We're going to kill that elk. We're going to do something together. We're going to conquer a project, and we build relationships around whatever that project is that we're conquering together. And then we go and have a beer and smoke cigars later. You know.
Well, and I'm just laughing because it seems like women can't meet without food.
Yeah, men can't meet without beer and cigars.
and of course, it is a gross generalization. Not everybody's going to fit into that.
No,
piece,
it's not. But I think but it's okay because we're trying to get that as we move forward. So let's move beyond that now. But men and women do things a little differently.
They do, and that's why. Okay, so my practical applications tend to be more the female thing because what I notice is women tend to stick with the groups they know. So maybe you've been in the same Bible study group for several years, and so when you get to the church potluck, our fellowship activity, and I'm saying that a little bit sarcastically.
Yeah, there's a little smile on her face when she said that.
We tend to sit with the people we know. And I would say a practical application of changing that would be to agree as a group of Bible study. Hey, we're not, or a group of friends, we're not going to sit together at the next church function. We are going to purposefully change seats, sit by people we don't know, and try to get to know somebody new who we may, I even have to check that, who we intend to bring into our circle. Because if you're saying I may bring them in, it means you're going to see if they fit.
Right.
And the intention should be to bring people in whether they fit or not, because God will cause a fit. That was not worded right. But anyway, God will cause us to work together, work things through, work things out, and become one. And sometimes you have to get uncomfortable to get to that place. So really, it's stepping outside your comfort zone. Now, is it okay to have close friends that you really click with? Yes, but can we not keep those relationships to outside church hours, outside church time?
Yeah, you and I talked about it before, and I think this is a male thing too. It's not just female. But when you go back to potlucks, men go there because they want to eat. they want to conquer the food, you know, whatever's there. And that's the most important. The relationship part, no, that's not the way we do it. Actually, I disagree, though, with that somewhat. I think men are also wanting to relate to each other. When men form those relationships, there are groups that we want to be a part of just to have fun with.
Right.
Just to go to a ball game, go hunting with. But we also need those deep friendships. Maybe it's easier for men not to say we're coming to church and we're not going to just hang with that same person, but maybe the same thing. No evidence or empirical evidence to prove my point. Mm-hmm. But still, men need that person that they can share with and explore life with.
I was going to say, I want to kind of look at, since you've just had the men's retreat, and we are just about to go into the women's retreat. I've been thinking about that a lot because I went to the retreat last year, and I might upset someone or hurt someone's feelings right now because we're women. one thing I observed was people staying within their own groups, and especially when we chose cabins. We had a big list on the wall, and you write down your name on what cabin you want to stay in. I actually saw people erase people's names and move them so that they could have their friends together.
Okay.
I would say that is a sign of not working on Christian community.
And do we know how the men handle that? Because we don't want to bother with it. You get there and you're assigned a cabin.
And you just deal with it. So yeah, I was just saying, though, as we're looking.
Them, okay, but they assign us by the loud snorers. So I was assigned the snoring cabin this last year.
And so, yeah, what I'm saying, though, is we look at the where we are separated male and female relationship. What kind of bonding? You said there was the archery activity up there,
right,
that people would bond over. We have activities, the female women do. We're going to have basket weaving. There's activities for women to do together to bond, but it seems to me like the bonding almost happens at different times. Or
okay.
It's a different, and maybe I'm
well,
just...
Well, the thing you and I talked about before this episode a while back was what my observation of women is that a lot of their bonding, the purpose is not to get together to do whatever the activity is. I don't want to pigeonhole women into what they enjoy doing.
Right.
But the whole purpose is to do that activity for the purpose of relating to each other. Men still want to conquer the activity. We want to win archery tag.
I do too. I want to win.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know.
And I know other women that do the same thing too. But I don't know. Men don't seem to be as big into doing the activity to form relationships.
To form relationships.
To go and share about our kids and...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to break it apart and put it back together and see. Maybe we are more the same than we realize.
You know, we might be. And so we'll end with that, this segment with that. Because we're wrestling with this too in ideas. But anyway, so we've talked about the purpose of Christian community, again, to not focus on ourselves, but to focus on God, to worship God, to grow in Him, and to serve God through serving others. We're going to take on a blog that I wrote that serves as the title for this podcast, and it's the title of it is Feeling Out of Place, and a question mark on that, and I'll explain more of that in a moment. We'll be back after this break.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged, then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45. Or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
I'm grateful that you've been staying with us through this podcast as Rochelle and I have been discussing what it means to be a Christian community with each other. So we're going to take on a blog I wrote a while back. It's reposted on October 1st, and you can find that blog in the show notes. There'll be a link to it in the show notes, plus the picture that I'm describing here in a second will be there. So if you want to pull that up and... as I talk about it, you're sure welcome to do that. Other links to different articles on the blog will or on the internet will have also in the show notes some scripture passages to help you as well. So please go to the show notes. And once again, if we haven't said enough, we'll say it again. Please leave comments there on the show notes, and let's get a conversation going with each other. So you can leave if you have questions again for Rochelle and me, you can leave those at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And once again, I need to make mention that this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we'd love for you to go to our church website at holycrosscs.org. The blog that I wrote is entitled Feeling Out of Place. It was a year ago that I made a trip over to this community I've heard about before but never had been to in my 16 years of living here in Colorado. We made it to Tin Cup, Colorado. It's on the west side of Cottonwood Pass, across from the Collegiate Range of mountains here in Colorado, beautiful range of mountains and a beautiful area, Tin Cup. It looks like it kind of shuts down in the winter. All the windows are shuttered and stuff in this little community. But it was a fairly large community at one time, as many cities were during the mining days. And a very interesting cemetery that, I'm just kind of a warped person. I like cemeteries. I love wandering around them. And this is an old cemetery, and it had a Protestant hill, a Catholic hill, and a Jewish hill, and then Knob Hill, where all the Boot Hill, where all the non-religious people were buried. And in one of those religious ones, because somebody stole the sign, so I didn't know if it was a Catholic or Protestant. I know it wasn't a Jewish section. There was this tombstone, and it looks like a tombstone of any kind of tombstone you see, especially if you go to a national cemetery like Fort Logan here in Colorado. I was used to Willamette National Cemetery in Portland. They have the same kind of headstones there. Until you look closely and you see that here in the Colorado Mountains, it's listed as this man as having been a part of the Confederate States of America. And so you begin to wonder, what was it that brought this guy here to Colorado after the war? And he was in the 35th Virginia Cavalry. If you do a little research on that cavalry, there's two things that stand out. And I don't know if this guy experienced it, but we'll guess that maybe he did. Is that at Gettysburg, they were one of the first to arrive at Gettysburg, and they did perimeter duty during the Battle of Gettysburg, and I'm sure they would have seen a great deal of the carnage, but they also did not have a very good reputation. They were known for their brutality as well, and so this guy was a part of that unit, and I began to wonder about his background and how is it that he got to Colorado, and did he feel like he was out of place when he was here? It doesn't seem like Colorado would be a place that a Southerner, a person from Virginia probably, because that's who he's connected with, would be buried. And so started thinking about this and applying that to us at times that we feel like outsiders. And we can feel like we don't belong in the church. So, Rochelle, let's wrestle with this for a second. How do we deal with the tension that we might not think that we or feel like we fit into a group or a church, and yet we still know that we belong to Christ, that we belong to Him? And does that question make sense?
It makes sense. And, you know, there's the easy answer and then the actual application of the easy answer.
So what's the easy answer?
The easy answer is if you belong to Christ, you belong to the church and the group. You do fit in somewhere. And it's really trying to discover how, and others discovering too. But, of course, that's not as easy to do.
And another thing came to my mind before we go further, and surviving the brutality of others who say you don't belong.
Absolutely, right. Because, I mean, the reality is that's a pretty picture to say if you belong to Christ, absolutely you belong there. But the reality is we're a bunch of humans coming together, and it's uncomfortable, and sometimes you may feel a bit ostracized or just too different to fit, to click, to come into that group and feel like a part of it, right? Is that's the reality of what we're wrestling
with? Yeah, I'm thinking about I wonder if there's a part of each one of us in the body of Christ that makes us feel like we're so unique that we don't fit. There's something about us that says, I'm not like what I generalize the other people of this group within the Christian church or the church itself, that makes me so different.
Well, it's interesting. One, again, that's our focus on ourselves. But again, too, sometimes the church focuses on you too. So maybe you don't look right. Maybe you don't act right. And how do you know? I'm seeing this on so many levels as you're talking about. I've got a daughter who has autism, and she doesn't know how to pick up social cues and fit in. So maybe sometimes she might not fit right because she doesn't understand what's going on. Or you're a brand new Christian or a non-Christian walking in to the community, let's say a brand new Christian, you don't know the verbiage yet. You don't understand what people are really talking about.
The culture of that community.
The culture, exactly. Or you're just somebody who, I think sometimes we think our sin has set us so far apart that we can't. Maybe we're separating ourselves from others. It's our own perception that I'm sure nobody else in this group has done that. Nobody else is as bad as me, which is a self-focus issue. And
so I don't feel like I can belong to this community because, I mean, we can go both ways.
There's a lot of different directions.
There's different angles we can take a look at this. But let's go back to what you said, and it is the truth, is that I am a part of the community. And for us in our Lutheran tradition, again, we hang on baptism. I've been baptized into Christ, as Paul says in Romans. We are clothed with Christ, and as such, we're brought into the community because Christ sets us there. And we, as the other image we've talked about is the body of Christ. So now he sets me in this body. Maybe it's a toenail that, you know, that I relate to, but I'm important. You ever had a toenail come off? It's very painful, and you find out it really does a good job of protecting my toe. You know, all I'm saying is there's a lot of issues. We think that we're not important, and yet we are.
Right. Or some, now you're making me think about of a friend of mine who knows she belongs in Christ, and she knows she's been called to her particular church community, and she never has felt accepted or...
And yet she feels called to it.
Right. So she stays there and she is serving God by being there, but she's not comfortable there. And what I want to say is that's okay, isn't it?
I think it's okay. I'm not sure that... I think there's a lot of people in the Christian community that would say, because of the way we deal with things, no, she needs to get out of there.
Right. She should go to a different church where she feels comfortable.
Because again, it goes back to it's about me.
Right, but what if we just walked into where we believe God has called us, whether we look right for that community, whether we act right for that community, whether we've had the same social, economic background, there's so many differences, whether we have the same talents and gifts. What if we just went where we felt God calling us?
Which says then you got to come, you got to have that idea of call. You got to have that feeling that I'm called to the community, and I'm not sure how many of us feel that we're really called to a specific body of believers in a specific location. We, you know, for us Lutherans, it's, okay, let's go to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod website. Let's find out, I just moved to Colorado Springs, let's find out churches that are there and check out their websites. And that's not a sense of call. I'm not saying that's bad.
No, you're just making me laugh because of my military background with us moving around. That's exactly what we did. And it was fun to talk with friends who don't have a denominational hold.
I think that's the right word. That's what I would say it is. Yeah.
Where they struggled with what church should I go to and, you know, kind of did the church shopping thing. We're going to try out this church and try out another church. And I would kind of chuckle with them, the ones that could be good-natured about it, about how easy it is to be Lutheran, LCMS, and be able to go to a community and go, oh, that's my church.
Yes.
But is that healthy all the time?
It can be. I think it can be. I don't know. I think this what it comes back to is, God has redeemed broken, sinful human creatures through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through his redemption called us into community. And we're not going to get it right until we're with him. And until that day, we continue to struggle, but hopefully we continue to struggle. What concerns me is when somebody gives up.
It's sad when someone gives up, and it's sad when they give up because we haven't been a Christian community.
Exactly. And that happens. So hey, there's another episode for us to take on sometime. And we will. Rochelle, you and I will probably take on this kind of issue again because it's a very important issue. We're thankful for you joining us and listening to this podcast. Hopefully it's been stimulating to you. It's helped you challenge you and return you, though, to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And we hope that you will continue to listen. We'd encourage you to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes. And one of the best things you can do for us is to leave a review of the podcast and a rating on iTunes, and we appreciate that if you would do that. You can email Rochelle and me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. I'd love for you to join the Facebook group that I have with Praying with the Eyes. If you would like to, just search for Praying with the Eyes. It'll come up. Just recently, I started a Facebook page, taking a little squirrel moment here, that I've wanted to do for a while, and it's Douglas Bronner Photography. I'm not a professional photographer. I'm not getting paid for anything. It's just where I like to share tips on photography and ideas to help people who are interested in photography dig a little deeper. I've taken on a new name, a pseudonym for myself, I'm the old fart photographer now. I'm writing a series of blogs for that. And those are geared around people who are in the seasoned part of their life, which I am turning 60 next year. And how can we use photography and have it as a hobby and find joy in it? So I'm gearing some blogs toward that. And you'll find those blogs at the website, prayingwiththeeyes.com. And so we'd love to have you come there and read other blogs by people who wrestle with different things in their life too and are willing to share and inspire us through their blogs. We'd love to have you again come to our website at Holy Cross, as this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, and that website is holycrosscs.org. If you live in the Colorado Springs community and do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and visit us. We worship at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class for children and adults at 9:30, and for adults at 11 o'clock. Another ministry we keep highlighting, you've heard promos for it during this podcast, is Life Tree Cafes. We now have four, actually. Life Tree Cafes, and I need to get that promo updated for that. Four of them. We have two that we've been talking about that meet on Monday and Tuesdays over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, and then one on Wednesday night from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and then one on Saturday, which we're calling Life Tree Plus because a little bit more to it, and that meets from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and all these meet at Holy Cross at the corner of Constitution and Murray here in Colorado Springs. Life Tree Cafe is where you come, your thoughts are welcome, your doubts are welcome, and we come to wrestle with important issues in our life. In our next episode, Rochelle and I will take on the topic of fear and how we face our fears. We're going to leave that pretty broad right now and keep you guessing as to what that might be. Please let your friends and relatives know about this podcast as we share Christ and seek connections. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Jason Laird Productions, which you can find online at jasonlairdproductions.com. For any thoughts or questions, please email Doug at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. And be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast, which you'll find on iTunes, and make sure you post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.